the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
What's up, guys? This is Brandon Warren. It's Midwest Swing. We are catching up with the catcher. It is Twins catcher Chris Jimenez. What's going on, man?
What's happening?
We are, let's see, it's July 5th, so it's the day after 4th of July. We got a lot of 4th of July stuff to catch up on. You already wear the red, white, and blue, so it wasn't much of an adjustment for you guys.
No. Straight America.
So I wanted to ask, you were in Fenway recently, in Boston, and we'll talk about how you fared there because you took one of your old buddies deep, which is kind of a fun story. But I want to ask, Fenway, obviously one of the more famous ballparks. But for you guys, it's 90 feet to every base. It's 60 feet 6 inches from the pitcher's mound. You deal with foul territory, which in Fenway is a little weird, and you deal with the fences. How much does the rest of the stadium matter to you guys as players?
Honestly, it's more just the nostalgia of knowing, you know, it's been around since the 1900s.
Ted Williams stepped in that box.
You know, you can see the red seat where he supposedly hit one like 579,000 feet.
The right field, ain't it?
Yes. Yeah. It's like literally almost at the very, very top of the bleachers. And we're kind of like, I don't know if anybody can hit it that far. Miguel Sano hit some balls pretty far, and I don't even know if he can hit it that far.
Give the old sit-go sign.
I'm like, man, that might be a tough draw. But no, really, it's just, you know, the fans are right on top of you. Yeah. They build ballparks back then. You know, everything's kind of just right there
on top. Well, I think they extended the dugouts and seats closer.
They did. This year is the first time. That's a big upgrade. Huge. Because before it was like you try to walk by somebody and you're like doing this.
So it was like September call-up time.
And that was
when
miserable.
You got like 36 guys.
Yeah. Well, I've been there twice in September when we've had call-ups around. So there's like 40 guys in that dugout, and the dugout's like 13 feet long and like 6 feet wide.
Math doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't add up.
So
I'm not good at math either.
I'm not either. As a journalism major. So you've played in a lot of road cities. You played in a lot of home cities that became road cities. What is what's on your list of favorite places to visit as a player? And was Minneapolis on that list beforehand?
It was, actually.
Really?
Believe it or not. This place here in Seattle are like two of my favorite places to come. In the summertime, especially.
Even though it's like 92 today?
Yeah, but you know what?
The air.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, keep it cool.
Yeah, exactly.
But like the lakes, you know, and same thing in Seattle, you have Lake Washington right there.
Yeah.
The air is like so much crisper and cleaner around here. Like,
sure.
It's just cool. The sights, like, you know, having the trees, it's not so much hustle and bustle. I'm a little bit more of country folk.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell by the cut off sleeves. But
sleeve monster got them.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that there's a lot of cool people around here, a lot of cool stuff to do. Those two are the places to eat are on point too. You can't go wrong with a good restaurant.
Is it weird to go back to old home cities as road cities, or like you go back to the Trop and you got to go to the other clubhouse? Like, so one time the Twins made a trade, and the two teams were playing each other. It was Doug Minkiewicz, and he had to go across to the Red Sox clubhouse. So that'd be weird. If you go back to the Trop now, is it a little bit like, yeah, I get it? You know,
I mean, we've been back a couple of times since I played there, so it, you know, it's. It's kind of one of those things that you have to kind of accept when you go through, you know, you're playing this game for, thankfully, as many years as I've gotten to play it. So you kind of just let it roll off your shoulder. You say hi to all the people you remember and you know, and the security guards, and you know, maybe the parking lot attendants that you saw every day when you were there. So that is kind of cool to get to catch up with them real quick. But other than that, it's kind of business as usual. I mean, you definitely know where you're going,
yeah.
Especially in the city. You know, like the good restaurants to go to, which is a big plus too.
Do players lean on you for that?
Sometimes in some cities, Cleveland, yes, because I've been there for 4 years, so I probably should know where everything's at. But Seattle, there's a few places too that I took. I tried to take Joe and Doge to one of my favorite breakfast places in Seattle. So I'm a big breakfast guy. Got to get up early and get some breakfast.
It's like Ron Swanson, man.
Most important meal of the day.
Exactly. What was it? Where was it?
Yeah,
it's called Portage Bay Cafe.
Huh.
In Seattle, I highly, highly recommend everybody check that place out if you're ever there. It's a organic. I mean, I'm not a big like organic guy, but this place is all locally grown, organic.
So it's at least fresh.
Berries. Yeah, they have this huge This thing's like 15 feet long. It's a breakfast bar. It's a pancake breakfast bar.
Oh, my God,
waffles,
dude.
They got every type of berry you could imagine. Homemade maple syrup. I mean, like, organic maple syrup.
I got to write down. What city is this?
This is called Portage Bay Cafe.
In what city?
In Seattle.
Seattle, okay.
Right downtown. It's kind of like a mile south of the Space Needle. It's well above average, trust me. They're all that can make, like, real butter and, like, whipped cream.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, the real kind, right? Like, grandma used to make.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. So, you played at the Trop. You debuted at the Dome. Are they similar? I don't want you to dog the Dome. I'm not saying Chris Archer's watching this video and he's going to come back at you.
No, like, I really didn't mind either place, honestly.
Okay.
The hardest part, I think, about it is playing in the outfield there, when I did play in the outfield, more so, I guess, than I do now, white roof, white ball, not exactly the easiest. But at nighttime, it does help because you kind of get that hue difference. But a day game, it's super bright up there. And when you're running and you lose sight of that ball, that's a scary, scary thing. But, and two, Metrodome, they used to turn the air conditioner on when the Twins were up. And I've seen Morneau hit like Kirby Puckett's face 10 times in the third inning. So I was front row seat for it and then playing at first base and he hit it over me. So thankfully it didn't kill me.
We can't confirm or deny any of those reports. You took David Price deep, speaking of the Trop, former teammates. Hanging slider, I believe it was. I believe those were your words. I'm not trying to put words up.
No. And it was actually Chris Sale.
Well, why did I think it was David Price?
He threw the next day.
Oh, that's right.
I faced him, but
okay, that's right.
We can talk about Sale too if you want. He wasn't a teammate of mine.
No, that's right.
I did take him deep.
So okay, so first of all, you hit the bomb in the family. That's pretty cool. Backup slider. What's it like facing Chris Sale? I'm gonna ask you about the nastiest pitchers you've caught. What's it like facing him?
Honestly, there are just some guys that you have a tendency to see way better than others.
Sure.
He, for whatever reason, I might be the only person on planet Earth to say this, but I would love to face that guy every day.
Really?
I just see the ball so well off him. Him and CC Sabathia are like the two guys that I would love to face. The one guy I do not want any part of, and this doesn't look as bad now as it did like 9 years ago, but Luke Hochevar, when he was a starter with Kansas City,
really?
had like a 6 ERA career.
Yep.
Now he's in the move to the bullpen. I mean, he's kind of lights out, a little different pitcher than but that was a guy that like guys would run into the bat rack to go face. And like I always played against him and I'm like, at one point, and up until 2012, I was 0-for-13 with 12 strikeouts. And I did not even foul tip a ball until I flew out my 13th at bat to center field. And I just won the World Series. I thought it was the greatest day.
That's crazy. So to your point about Price, sorry I goofed that up.
That's all right.
When you face guys you've caught before, is there any kind of advantage at all? I mean, does anything of that bleed through? Because you've caught some great pitchers.
Yeah.
Felix, Darvish, yes. Tamils, all these guys.
The good thing, I guess, is I usually know their sign sequence when we get to second base. They normally, those guys, they don't change stuff like that.
Sure.
So I may, have an advantage in that retrospect. And also, I know how guys move, like how their pitches move. And also know kind of when they're in certain situations, what they might like to go to more, maybe it's changeup over a slider or fastball up over a slider.
Sure.
Just depending on the pitcher. So I guess there is a little bit of an advantage in that.
What's the nastiest one pitch you think you've ever seen as a hitter? Like, Johan Santana's changeup was ridiculous.
Right.
I think he was nationally by the time you were around, obviously. But
Kluber's slider, his curveball.
And that's another one you've caught before.
Yeah. I mean, he could tell you it's coming and you still can. That's how good.
And you've obviously seen how he's pitched since coming off the DL. I think he missed all of May, and it's been just dicing.
Unfortunately for everybody, all of us.
Yeah, especially his competitors. So it doesn't really help much to have caught that.
No, I mean, honestly, it's just one of those things that you pray to God, you see it start in a certain spot, because that's the only chance you have a foul. The thing that makes it so good is he shapes it differently depending on the count. If he wants it to go a little more side to side, it's a little bit harder of a pitch to hit because it gets a little more sliderish. But when he's trying to strike one or really wrench one on top of the plate, you have no chance.
So you don't have to out one guy specifically because you've obviously caught so many great pitchers. But what are some of the best pitches you've caught? Cole Hamels has a really good changeup. And Felix has the fastball, even in his younger days, I guess. What are some of the best pitches, individual pitches that you've caught?
So, Yu Darvish's slider
How many pitches does Yu Darvish throw? How many fingers do you have to put down?
Let's see. So he's got three different fastballs to each side. He's got a four-seamer, a two-seamer, and one that he'll just cut at 95.
Does he tell you what's coming, or do you have to just...
No, so what I told him when I was his catcher was, listen, man, his interpreter came up to me and was like, he's got this pitch, this, 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 and this. He's got three fastballs on each side of the plate, so that's six pitches. A hard curveball, slow curveball, slider, cutter, changeup, split. So I think it's like 12 or 13 pitches.
You need more than two.
And I looked, I was told him, I was like, bro, I only got five fingers. So what I did is I'm going to put a one down, and you throw whatever one of those three you want, I'll catch it. And I think, honestly, that was like the key to his heart, because he loved that. Because that way, you know, you put, if he wants a two-seamer, and you're throwing a fastball down, or you think he's going to cut one, and he wants just a straight one, he's waiting for you to go back to that side. And I mean, you're not, once you put a one down and he shakes it, you're thinking, okay, slider, curveball. You don't think about all their types of fastballs.
Sure.
So I just told him, like, listen, man, I'll put a one down, I'll catch it, you throw it, don't worry about it. And then obviously as it goes along, you start to realize, like, okay, lefties, two strikes, he'll throw the fastball that he cuts in there. But certain lefties, he'll throw the ride back two-seamer. Anytime he faced Ichiro, it was always two-seamers ride back.
Okay.
And he always humped it up to the next level when he faced Ichiro, too. So you have to kind of be ready to move a little bit more laterally, because you go from 93, 95 to damn near 100. And when his ball moves this much, that's not a lot of fun.
Does that screw with pitch receiving, though? I mean, do you think it could affect the fact that you're trying to...
Yeah, because if you're thinking he's going to run one back and he cuts it, you know, you're kind of already getting yourself in that spot, and then it's a boom.
Yeah.
So that does make it difficult, without a doubt. But hopefully you guys get on the same page, you know, and you start to understand, like, what he likes to do to certain guys, or just lefties in general. If you have a base open, he'll do one type of fastball, as opposed to if he's got not a base open, then he's going to run something that's more on the plate to get contact.
Well, and he's good enough. He's not really relying on a lot of pitch framing.
Right.
So,
right. So when you got stuff like that, you don't necessarily need guys to steal strikes. You throw them up.
So let's talk about you. You're hitting better lately. You've been talking about the role that Jeff Pickler has played in that. How much has it been maybe a little more regular playing time? How much has it been matchups? And how much has it been just committing to the work that you've been putting in? Or is it kind of all of it?
I really think it's all of it, to be honest with you. I felt like I've been, you know, majority of time facing lefties, but then we'll go through some stretches where I've had to face some righties too. But, you know, I think they're just trying to find the best matchups possible for him and I. And that's really seemed to help us both. But also kind of really buying into it. And it's not normal that a 34-year-old changes his swing completely. You know, it's just something that I realize that there's always been more in the tank, and I haven't necessarily showed what I've always been capable of doing. So I think we're starting to see some of that kind of come into it. I'm at like a career high walk rate,
which is huge.
Yeah, which is awesome. Hard contact rate has gone through the roof. My average exit velocity is up 6.5 miles an hour from last year. So I've also been pulling the ball a lot more, even foul, which is crazy. It's one of those things, and now once you start to add in those consistent, a little bit more regular at bats, your batting average starts to jump up. But I kind of owe it to all three of the guys.
You're, as a team, you guys are hitting the ball in the air and taking walks. What we found out with contemporary baseball analysis is those are kind of the path to solid offensive numbers, and the offense has been good. Do you get the kind of sense that that makes it feel more sustainable?
Without a doubt. You know, I mean, too, you look at the way guys come out of the bullpen these days. Everybody's coming out of the bullpen throwing 100 miles an hour with nasty slider and breaking ball changeups. You have to understand that, listen, as good as these guys are, they're still trying to pitch around guys. Look at a guy like Miguel Sano. They're not going to throw himself in the zone. He's starting to really understand that.
It's scary.
It's very scary. Now that he's taking his walks, they're going to have to bring the ball back to the zone. And I think that a lot of guys on this team that are young, just like him, are starting to realize the same thing. You know, you have to understand the situation in the game. If there's an open base, and we got a Max Kepler, Miguel Sano, Joe Mauer obviously has done that for a lot of years.
Yeah.
He understands when they're going to pitch to you and when they're not. And I think that's something that we've really started to build as a team, and just try to kind of be students of the game. And not take your aggressiveness away from the plate, but also know in the back of your head, I had a situation like that yesterday where I knew there was a base open, just who it was behind me wasn't necessarily a power threat. With two outs in that situation, there was a chance I wasn't going to see a ton of pitches. I ended up walking on six pitches. Whether it worked out that way, or at least in my head, that's what it was supposed to do, I got lucky.
No, it worked out. How'd you spend your fourth?
We actually, everybody on the team, front office, clubhouse staff, training staff, Joe and Maddie Maurer were very gracious enough to open up their beautiful lake house to us and had everybody over for a huge 4th of July party. They rented this huge, like, 200-person boat. All the families got to go out on the lake, check out the fireworks. We had a big barbecue, bounce houses for the kids, tons of games and stuff. You know, just really celebrating summer because that's something that we don't get to do, which, you know, we're not normal people when it comes to that. Our time off is in the winter when it's not the greatest outside. So, yeah, we tried to get out and just get our families together and kind of be together and have fun. You know, this is what a better place to spend a 4th of July than a place like this. And with all your family members right here in this locker room.
Speaking of break, we're not going to get to see you again until after the All-Star break. How are you going to spend your break?
I'm actually going home. I'm very excited about
this. Little P. Diddy coming home?
I'm coming home. I've actually, this will be the first time I've been home in the summertime in almost 10 years. I've never seen my house with flowers on the plants, leaves on the trees. Because by the time I get home, you know, there's still leaves on the trees, but they're all turning colors, so I've never even seen a flower on any one of my plants.
Sick, I play in October, Greg.
Yeah, that's right.
See that?
The last, like, 3 out of 4 years, yeah.
Well, that's pretty good, though, so you're going to get to spend a good time.
Yeah.
Last thing I got for you, you got to rock some pretty cool catches here for 4th of July. Where is that now? And you told me you're going to maybe break it out again?
Yeah, I'm going to try to bust that out again. I'm very fortunate. All-Star takes great care of me. They love me. I don't know why, because I suck, but they sent all their guys, you know, the beautiful American flag, 4th of July gear. It's down in my catcher's bag right now. I'm going to try and wear it every time we wear our red uniforms. I thought that'd be kind of a cool mix.
It looks pretty sweet, Dan.
Yeah, why not? Until at least somebody tells me that I can't do it. So we'll rock it.
Let's hope they don't do that.
I hope so.
He's Chris Jimenez. I'm Brandon Warren. We've been catching up with the catcher on Midwest Swing, part of the Old Omaha Podcast Network.